Coach Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome to the show, and happy Christmas Eve to you. What an awesome thing it is to be here on this Friday, the day that we celebrate, how about that? You're celebrating the day that you're celebrating. Well, I'm glad we're talking about celebrating here, because today on the show, our topic today, we're going to talk about another type of celebration. We're going to talk about celebrating your true love. Celebrating your true love. How many of you today have found that true love? You found that person that some would call your soulmate. How many of you have actually found your soulmate? And then there might be some people who haven't quite yet had that kind of success in a relationship. Maybe you know someone who has gone round and round and round in relationships, never seeming to find that one true love. Maybe they've been hurt before. Maybe they've been mistreated, misguided, sometimes often even feeling misunderstood. Well, I know a little bit something about being in a relationship that goes down the wrong road, and it's really not a good feeling at all. Well, today I want to share with you some thoughts and tips about finding your true love. And what better time of the year to talk about this than right now? Not only is it a Christmas, a time when family and friends come together, family gatherings, friends, co-workers, people from different walks of life come together during this time of year. A lot of people get hitched, believe it or not. They hitch up during this time of year at family gatherings, at company gatherings. They may meet someone for the first time. They may realize that a person is within their realm for the first time. So I thought this would be a great time to bring up this topic. Also, a reason I believe that this is a great time of year to bring up the topic how to find your true love is because a lot of people around the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and don't forget, before you know it, in February, we'll be celebrating the ultimate love holiday for some people, Valentine's Day. This is just a season where people look to be with someone. Now, I want to start by saying that, you know, I didn't write a dissertation on how to find true love. However, I am living it out. I'm living it out. And I've had many mistakes in the past. So I'm just throwing out there to you my credentials, how I ended up here. I guess we had Mr. Versi Walker on Wednesdays. He wrote a book, Success, How I Ended Up Here. I guess I could write the book, True Love, How I Ended Up Here. Because I really do want to help others who want to find true love. Maybe you're married. Maybe you're single. Maybe you want to stay single. Okay, that may be the case. But if you want to be married, if you want to find that true love, I think I have some tips for you. And you may say, well, what if I want to find the true love and I don't want to get married? Well, you may want to tune into another show because my teaching and my guidance will be, or coaching, will be for people who do want to get married. I believe wholeheartedly in the sanctity of marriage. But even naturally, I believe in it. I think it's important for people who truly love one another. I think it's important to make that commitment to each other to get married. I think that, yes, on earth, it's a sign to one another that I'm with you and I'm here committed to you and I want to stay with you for the rest of my life. But also in the eyes of God, God sees it as obedience to what he has told you to do, and it's also a sign of who he is in the earth. For instance, you've heard it said when two people get married, the two become one. That's the only place outside of God and Jesus. This is the only other place where two can become one. We become one with God through Christ, but couples become one through marriage. Boyfriend and girlfriends don't become one. Live-in partners don't become one. But husband and wife become one. And you don't have to totally understand what that means. You don't have to totally understand what it means. You can trust the Lord with all your heart and don't have to lean to your understanding about what that really means and signifies, the fact that two becomes one. And trust me, I don't think like my husband. It's not that we think alike. It's not that we think just alike. It's not that we're just alike. That's not what makes us one. But it's spiritual. What happens when two become one? And it's a unity that is just unbelievable. And so it's a wonderful thing. So you will hear me talk about, if you're going to find your true love, you need to marry them because somebody else might, for one, and then you will be without your true love. But we're talking this morning about finding your true love. If you just tuned into the show, welcome, welcome, welcome. If it's your first time, I'm suspecting that we will have several first-time callers on today. Typically, the topic, finding your true love, may attract a few people. Besides, I was at dinner with some neighbors on last evening, and I invited a couple of them to tune into the show. So we may have a few new callers, and I'm waiting for my husband to also join me in the studio today. Now, we've been married 20 years. It'll be 21 years, March 24th. March 24th, we will celebrate 21 years of marriage. We were together about 18 months prior to getting married. And from the day we met, I definitely knew that this was a person that I wanted to be with forever. And I believe he said the same thing. He knew the same thing. And it's so funny because the first day we met, just to tell you just a little quick story. Now, when I met my husband, I was about 31 years old when I met my husband. No, 31. I was about to turn 32. My husband was 38. He's 6 years older than I. So my husband was 38 when I met my husband. So when we met and we were talking, and he said to me, he said, we were just talking about our jobs, our family, where we had some things we had done in life. And he got it out that by age 40, which was 2 years from that date, he planned to be married. And I thought immediately, okay, now this is the first day we met, he said this. And, you know, a lot of men, right there, you know, I knew he was different because a lot of men, I'm not saying a lot, I don't know how many because I haven't taken account, but I'm suspecting that not many men talk about marriage when they first meet you. So here he is saying that he, you know, would be married in a couple of years. So I'm thinking he must be talking about me because I'm, you know, doing now some math in my mind that, okay, you meet someone, you know, about 6 or 8, 9 months, you're just getting to know each other, and it takes a year, and you're kind of getting some things established. So by 2 years, the relationship is going really good. So I'm thinking, well, I must be that person because 2 years is not a very long time. And I doubt if he and I will be together for, say, a year or so, and then he dumps me and goes get someone else. So now I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be this person that he's going to marry. So let's get to know each other a little bit more. Now everyone's going to have a different story, probably, for how they met and discovered their true love. Well, that's kind of how I did it. And I definitely want to welcome each and every one of you to the show today. I see we have some new phone numbers in the chat room. I see we have some of our people that have been here for a while. We have Miss Patricia Martin, who did say that she would tune into the show because she's visiting family. And I really, Pat, I'm really doing this show for you because you're down there with a lot of new people. And just in case you happen to fall in love, Let's take it a little slow, but no, I'm just joking around. But yes, she's away with family in a whole new state. Also, want to welcome other callers. If it's your first time calling into the show, if you desire to ask a question, you would hit the number one key. Also, I want to welcome those of you in the chat room. Thank you for your continued support as we wind down this year. And that's another reason for talking about finding your true love. It's because we're going into a new year. And for some of you, you're in a new season. You're in a new season in your life. And you're in a season in your life where you're now open. You're now open for God to do great and mighty things in your life. And so we definitely want to continue with our success series and our success topics. Now, last week we talked about getting our health in order and getting our health in line, being healthy. We said, what's the sense of finding your purpose and not having the health to enjoy it? And the same thing with finding a true love. You know, we got to get our health right. What's the sense of finding your true love and then not living long enough to enjoy that person? And then on Monday, we talked about finding yourself, loving yourself. We talked about that for 2 days. And then also, Mr. Versi Walker came on Wednesday and piggybacked on how we need to really get real with who we really are. He said there are a lot of people going around talking kingdom-minded and being kingdom, and at the same time, not acting kingdom. And we call that a cognitive dissonance. when our mind is thinking one thing and our behavior is showing up another. And we don't want that in our lives. So the true love. Now, first of all, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that you are worthy of true love? That's number one. That's number one question you want to ask yourself. Now, you don't have to answer it right here and now, because it's going to take some time to answer that. You're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to excavate through a lot of stuff sometimes. You got to get that shovel out and dig, dig, dig. You got to dig down deep behind a lot of things that are buried in your subconscious mind, a lot of attitudes and thoughts and opinions that you held as you were growing up. So you're going to ask yourself, am I even worthy of true love? And then you're going to also ask yourself, do I love, you know, you're going to again ask yourself that question. Do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you know how to love? Do you know how to love? Now, here's another thing. What if someone wanted to truly love you? Let's just say you know someone who's looking for true love and you have to give them advice. Just pretend for a minute it's not for you. Pretend that it's for someone else. And you have to teach them about finding true love. You know, they say, and I learned this years ago when I first started junior college around 1990, I learned that the best way to know that you know something is when you can teach it to others. It's not the only way, but it's the best way. And that's why study groups are so effective in school and college. Because if you're leading a study group and you're teaching, for instance, if I know algebra and I can teach you algebra, every time I teach you algebra, I enforce that I know it. So every time I teach you algebra, I enforce that I know it. So I remember there were times when I used to tutor a lady when I was in junior college through most of my math courses. And I went from the zeroest level math all the way up to like third level calculus, getting straight A's. Now I had this woman who was absolutely failing, and I was helping her. She was getting like F's, straight F's. And I was starting to get B's and I noticed that I was getting A's. And she didn't get F's, thank goodness. She didn't get A's, but she did get C's, which was a huge success for her. But my point is that usually as you're teaching something, you get better at it. So let's pretend you're teaching someone else how to find true love. Now, in my opinion, that's going to really help somebody that may not be for everyone, but I believe that that is for someone. Somebody got helped with that right there, that suggestion. The best way to learn something is to teach it to someone else. Teach what you know. And what you don't know, go learn and then teach. So it's, here's the pattern. You don't know, you learn. You learn, you teach. You don't know, you learn. You learn, you teach. You get to another level where you don't know something. Well, you go out and learn it, and then you go out and teach it. Then you get to another level. So there's a pattern right there. You don't know it, you learn it, and then you teach it. And every time you teach, you're reinforcing what you know. So here you are trying to teach someone how to love, how to find their true love. And so what are you going to teach them? Well, the first thing you're going to teach them, you're going to ask them the same question. Do you believe that you deserve true love? And the reason why you have to ask that question is because of the subconscious mind. Just look at some marriages. This happens in a lot of marriages. The first year of the marriage is wonderful. It's lovely, beautiful. Oh, it's just muah. It's great. You're telling everybody about this wonderful person that you, and every time they see you, you're all smiles and you have this glow about yourself and you're bubbly and bouncy. And what happens after that, in many cases, the marriage goes downhill. because the person in the subconscious comes forth. And the person in the subconscious mind, and some people say, who is this? Who did I marry? And sometimes we don't even recognize that person. What is that about? Well, it seems that, based on some research, it seems that what some of that is about is the mindset of the person that has been being developed all their lives. All their lives, whoever raised them, whoever they were raised around, whatever they saw growing up, got buried down in their psyche, down in their subconscious mind. And now that you're married, all of those things that got buried there surface. They come forth. They resurrect. Just like Lazarus did. They resurrect when you get married. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. Now, a lot of issues can happen as a result of that. So if you're not married and you're single, you want to definitely go to as many How to Find Your True Love seminars as you can. You don't have to go to a ton of them, but you need to attend one or two. You know, you want to equip yourself, you want to be well equipped. You don't have to be a, you know, find your true love junkie, but you certainly want to be equipped. How do you find your true love? And it's really worth it. It's really worth it. It's worth it. Now, here's the thing about finding your true love. One thing I discovered, and I shared this with someone yesterday. A lot of people say, well, I want to find a great relationship. Because true love is going to be built on a great relationship. You will have a great relationship. And some people don't have great relationships. So I said, here's the thing, you don't find a great relationship. You find people and you build great relationships, okay? So you might want to write that down. You don't find great relationships, you build them. B, capital B-U-I-L-D. As a matter of fact, why don't you make that all caps? Capital B, capital U, capital I, capital L, capital D. You don't find it, you build it. And that can even be said in the case of finding your true love. You need to build up the inner love. You need to build up, before you can find true love, you need to be true love. You need to be about true love. And the research shows that based on a lot of people, the way they were raised, they have so many reasons to not truly love themselves. Now, of course, this is just a little, as a matter of fact, I believe the show today, it may go a little longer. Even if you're in the chat room, you may still be able to hear because we've upgraded some services, and so you will even be able to hear beyond the one-hour mark. One thing is because we're on a holiday, and for some people like myself, I don't have to rush off to work. So I thought, and at the end of the show, we always seem to have more conversation than we have time. So we extended the show today just to let you know. And so we welcome all of our guests today. We welcome Mr. or Mrs. It's Impossible. Welcome to the show. Good morning. And how are you doing today? I'll just type that into the chat room for those of you. And do you find your true love yet? And that's true love yet. And then here's the other question. Are you looking for true love? Some people look for true love in all the wrong places. And some people, they've looked for love and tried to satisfy who they really were in material things, in drugs and alcohol, in other people. But it's inside. How can you truly love someone when you don't truly love yourself? And here's how you can usually tell. If you're in a relationship and you're loving You're trying your best to love this person. You're trying your best. Yes, it is possible. You're trying your best to find your true love, right? You're trying your best to, you could already be married, and you're trying your best to make this thing work, and it's not working. And the first thing we try to do, typically, our defense mechanism goes up, because remember, I'm okay, but you're not. So we find all kinds of fault in that person. And that may be the case. Maybe you need to. But here's the problem with that. You're missing the fault within yourself. And some people I've seen spend 30, 40, 50, 60, even 60 years of their marriage finding fault with their partner or their spouse, only for that person to maybe pass away, or maybe the person eventually does divorce them or what have you. Then, they only then, and only then do they come to realize that they themselves were the fault or had major problems. And so, that almost happened to me, and that's another reason that I'm on this mission to help others. You know, when things happen to you, there's one research I did that shows that means you're coming to the crossroads of your life. When you get to a crossroad and you're wondering which way to go, should I leave? Should I stay? Should I do A? Should I do B? When we come to a crossroad like that, you see, it's a great eye-opener. It's a great chance, an opportunity for you to make a huge, huge impact and difference in your life. But sometimes when we're going down the same road, the same way, with the same thoughts, we typically never make humongous, impactful changes. It's only when we get to a crossroad that we say, should I go left or should I go right? And typically, that's when we get to realize that, oh, wow, my whole life can change. You may be married, you may be single. You may be single desiring to get married. You may be single and not desiring to get married. However, you may be raising children. There are single people who have children, but no desire to marry. But now you may need to help your son or your daughter find true love. You can't assume that they will be just like you. But that is the typical assumption with most parents, that my children will be just like me. However, sometimes they are, even when we hope and pray that they're not. Sometimes we pray that they don't end up like us, but sometimes they do. Now, that's where true love can be a real problem, finding true love. Because if growing up, if you were never taught how to truly love yourself, whoever you are, that included me, that includes a lot of people, were never taught how to, first and foremost, truly love yourself. Therefore, out of the millions, the 7 million people, the 7 billion people in the world, I'm sure it's a humongous number, percentage of them, that was never taught how to truly love themselves. Therefore, when you began to date or when you decided to get married, you took a dysfunctional perspective with you, no matter who you are, no matter what your race, creed, color, religion, age, financial status, it doesn't matter, your educational level, what have you, it doesn't matter. If you were raised and you were not taught how to love yourself, then you took with you a dysfunctional situation. And then you got married. Now remember, so you came to the relationship with some dysfunctional stuff, and more than likely, so did the other person. Now you have two dysfunctional people butting heads, arguing at each other, fussing and fighting, over something that neither one of you did. You didn't make yourself dysfunctional, and neither did they. Both of you have tried to live with it and deal with it, but you never knew, you never learned the tools to fix dysfunction. As a matter of fact, they only start using that term, wow, about what, 30 years ago? 30, 20 maybe, between 20 and 30 years ago. You never heard that term. When I was growing up, I never heard that word. Oh, we're in a dysfunctional family. Now it's common verbiage. But when I was kids, you never heard that, never. Even when I was very young, 18, 19, never heard that. That's why I'm saying the word became popular. It's not a new word. It wasn't created in the 1980s. But it certainly became popular, especially once we got around certain television shows like The Cosby's and shows like that. But remember, when I was growing up, the TV shows didn't really show dysfunctional families. You had Leave It to Beaver. You had, the Danny Thomas show. You had shows that didn't really show a lot of dysfunction. It showed, mommy, daddy goes out to work. The children are maybe a little rambunctious, but that's natural for children. And naturally, Beaver was climbing trees and falling out and taking rocks to school and, all these little things. These are like natural things that children should do. So you didn't really see a lot of dysfunctional things on television even. The media didn't want that out there, okay? But then in the late 70s, even when Good Times came out, Good Times was not a dysfunctional family. Remember, James couldn't get a job, but he loved his children. He loved his wife to death. And they all loved each other. JJ and Thelma would argue back and forth and put each other down. And that's when we began to see some signs of some dysfunction being portrayed in TV. But for the most part, the sitcoms were not totally dysfunctional. Now, Julia came out, and Julia was a single mother with this little son, Corey. And we thought that was cute. She was a nurse, and here she had this cute little kid. We still didn't really see dysfunction, though she was a single parent. But we didn't see her giving him any bad head tricks. Like, she wasn't getting angry, she wasn't an alcoholic, she wasn't, showing any signs of depression. And the child was picking up on that. And so, now, think about it. If in your life, you're looking for love, you have to have all these scenarios going on. Dysfunction from the home, growing up, whoever raised you, whether you were raised by one person, two people, or 20 people, doesn't matter. Wherever you were learning, but maybe at school, maybe in the community, you learned some behaviors. And sadly to say, one of the behaviors that we didn't learn was how to love ourselves. Therefore, when it was time to go out and find love, we came, and like attracts like, right? You know about the law of attraction. What you're thinking is what you're attracting. So people would say, but I'm not thinking that. Well, but your subconscious mind is. Your subconscious mind is not asleep. It's alive and well. And your subconscious mind, on a deeper level, you attracted the person, the very person that after several years you can no longer stand. You attracted that person. How do we change that? For those who are married, like myself, I had to turn it around. I had to get to a crossroads. I got to a crossroads after 9 years of my marriage. My marriage got to a crossroads. And the decision was made to leave because the decision was that this cannot be the person for me. This cannot be the right person for me. Here, now, you may be facing the same type of crossroad. You may be right smack dab in the middle of your crossroad right now. So what is it that you need to do? What can you do in order to turn it around? How can you make it better? Well, obviously, because of what I've been talking about for the past 30 minutes, you're going to have to love yourself. And that's going to be hard. For some people, that's going to be nearly impossible. possible. They're not, because they don't know how to do it. They've never had to do it. No one has ever taught them. And now I'm going to call her. Caller from 513, you have a question or a comment.
We feel we can't become everything God wants us to be. We feel defeated because of a sin or a mistake from our past. And these are some of the ways condemnation will begin.
Caller?
To affect people that you cannot be.
Okay. I thought maybe the caller, she may have, it sounds like they're listening to a TV program, but I thought maybe that caller had a comment or question. Doesn't look like they did. Now, here, back to this point that I was making. When we don't love ourselves, we need to do that first. But for some people, that's going to be the almost, you're going to feel as though it's the impossible because we don't have tools for self-love. But we talked about that. How to love yourself on Monday's show and on Tuesday's show. So you may want to go back and listen to those episodes because you're really going to have to do that. You're going to have to, first of all, you're going to have to know who you are. You're going to have to know something about yourself. And then you're going to have to be able to love yourself through whatever disappointments you've had for yourself, through your belief systems. You're going to have to get to love you before you're going to love anyone else. And for those of you who are still yet single, great, wonderful, hallelujah. This is great that you get to learn before you go out there and mess up someone or get even more messed up yourself. Stop and take the time to love you. Be able to look yourself in the mirror and know that you are wonderful. You are great. You are awesome. You deserve the best. You are precious. You see, there's no sense of thinking you're going to tell someone else that, but you cannot yet say that to yourself. If you can't tell yourself those things, what makes you think that your mind wants you to tell that to someone else? Don't put yourself at that level of stress. That's stress for your psyche, to tell someone else how wonderful they are, how smart and beautiful and intelligent and awesome and amazing. But you can't tell yourself that. That's a problem. You need to be able to tell yourself you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're awesome, you're special. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're smart. You're intelligent, you're gorgeous, you're beautiful, not in a conceited way, but in a loving way. You need to be unconditional with yourself. When you make mistakes, you need to allow yourself to make a mistake, not beat up on yourself. That's how you get to the heart of self-love. You have to love yourself before you can love someone else. See, some people think that they're loving someone else. And in essence, they're really not. They're really not. And they question if that person really loves them. They're always questioning, does this person really love me? Well, then that means you have not maximized your own self-love. God wants you to love yourself. We discovered that on the other show. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So he expects you to love yourself. He said, take care of yourself. Treat your body as a temple. He said to not sacrifice things that you know that are good for you. Get your rest. Eat properly. Don't put yourself in harm's way. You are to love yourself. He said, save yourself till marriage. That was the best advice God could have ever given us. But many of us totally ignored it. And now some of us are dealing with the issue of it. And for those of you who are still virgins and you want to know why I say that, because I'm sure by now you've been pressured into having sex, because people will try to pressure you into it. And you're telling them, no, no, no. Or maybe you know someone who is single and still a virgin, and you have to counsel them or coach them or teach them or mentor them, you want to be able to give the answer, because the first thing they're going to do is throw in your face, well, and especially if they happen to know, even if they don't know, they're going to ask you, well, did you have sex with your husband or your wife before you got married? You know, young people will just straight out ask you things. They're not discreet at all, not like we were. We were taught to be discreet. Young people don't even know, I don't think they know what the word discreet is not in their vocabulary. They may know what it means. They have college degrees or what have you. They're well educated from high school, but they don't know, they don't use the word discreet. But we were taught to be discreet back in those days, in the good old days, as some would say, several eons ago. But they will ask you, well, didn't you have sex before you got married? And they may know. They may know some of the people. So that's okay. Yes, I did. And let me tell you why I wished I had not. Sex brings about other burdens with it. And people don't realize this. When you're in a relationship with someone else, and they call these things soul ties. So you get into marriage with this person, but the sex you had with that person is still lingering in your inner man, in your soul. And therefore, that can also block your ability to really find true love with your mate. So you have to kind of get that out. And it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do, but it is doable. You can get it out through prayer and fasting and denouncing it. And then there's memories. You ever heard of those? You know what a memory is? Experiences leave memories. They leave beliefs. Any experience you had in life is contributing to your belief system. And so a lot of people, men and women, have a hard time when they get married with the lovemaking. Why? Because they have memories of someone else. And so now when they make love to you, their memory could be the other person was better, greater, lasted longer. Something to make you think that this is not right. Had we not had sex with anyone, that person, whatever they did, and some people say they have sex because they fear it won't be good. That's a cop-out. That is not what you need to experience whether it's good or not. God said it would be good if the two of you came together in purity. See, it's up to him to make it good. That's number one. And so when people go outside and do it their way, it brings about a lot of problems later on in the marriage, just so that you'll know where your problem. I'm just telling you this so that you'll know possibly where some of your problems could be coming from you finding true love, and especially when it comes to the marriage bed. A lot of people are struggling in that area, and they don't even know why. And so now that you have some idea, it could be medical reasons. The person that you marry could have a medical problem. However, it would be less of a medical problem had you both been virgins. Because even if you are virgin, both you and your spouse, and that other person has a medical problem, again, you won't have this burning desire to have all this sex with them because you never had it. You don't even know what you're missing. There's no way you can have all the imaginations you want, but there's absolutely no way to know what you're missing until you've done it. And that's why you shouldn't do it until you have to do it, and that's when you get married. Then you won't have that issue. Now, I just threw that in as a sidebar because I know a lot of people have problems in that area, and therefore the marriage that could be a true love isn't. So that may not help the married people, but that will help the single people who need to get married. You don't need to have sex before marriage, and if you have already, well, you've got to try to find a way to not let that be a blockage to your being fulfilled when that day does come. When that day does come. And one way is to identify, so I'm talking about it, so exposing it so you can know what it is. Because when it happened to me, I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue as to what was happening, and no one around me could help me. They didn't have a clue either. And it took some teaching from, some of you remember Dr. Juanita Bynum's No More Sheet. It took some teachings from her and some others for me to learn what the real serious problem with sex before marriage. But there was a good book that I read before by the Dobsons. Some of you may know the couple. They're psychologists. They live like upstate somewhere, like the Boston area. And they wrote a book years ago, about 20 years ago or so, about finding your soulmate. Finding your soulmate. And I purchased a book. They used to give seminars. I don't know if they still do. But if you know them, I believe that the wife, they're both psychologists in as it deals with relationships and sex. They're a husband and wife team, and they used to do seminars, but I believe the wife may be the one, you may know of her, because I believe she's the one who discovered, who came up with the idea of the black Barbie, I believe. But you might want to research that just to make sure. But certainly this was a couple who were both doctors, both psychologists, and they wrote a book about finding your soulmate. And I purchased their book. I never got a chance to go to their live concert, I mean, to their live seminars that they would demonstrate. But a guy I used to work for, they were best friends. Actually, he was this person's best man at their wedding. So he used to tell me a lot about their teaching, the teaching of finding your soulmate. And I was married at the time when I found out about this couple and purchased their book. And I did read the book. There's another good book that I read. So I'm just telling you about some books out there that you can also read that may help you. So it's by, I will look it up and have it for you on the show for Monday for sure. But the Dobsons, I'm pretty sure that's their last name. The other book that I read is called His Needs, Her Needs. Now, that's another book that you can go out and purchase for just a few dollars. And for your marriage, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. You know, I mean, if it's going to save your marriage, why not? Now, His Needs, Her Needs is by Willard, W-I-L-L-A-R-D, F. Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Jr. So Willard F. Harley, that's who wrote that book. And the Dobsons, let's see if I could find Dr. Dobson, if I can look those up for you and see who they are. Yes. It's not them, I don't think. I know there is a Dr. James Dobson, but I don't think that's them. And so let's see if it's all right. Well, they are psychologists, and I know they live upstate New York. And their book was How to Find Your Soulmate. I'm going to look them up because I really want you to get this book because it was a great, great book. And let's see. Book. You want to definitely look into books like this because they can really, really, really help you. Dobson, D-O-B-S-O-N. Okay. Wonder. It was by the Dobsons. Okay. Anyway, well, when we find out who these people are, I believe, they might even be on Facebook. Wow. I'm going to definitely look them up because I would love to reconnect with them. And we are definitely going to do some more teaching on this topic because we really, really, really want to help people find their soulmate. And again, like I said, one of the reasons we want to talk about it, and I hear my partner stirring around, so he should be down in just a minute. So I want to bring him on because I think he will definitely add something great to our topic today. But do you know you can actually take a quiz and to know if you are going to find your soulmate or not. But one thing I can guarantee you, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to find your true love. And then when you find your true love, you know how people think they meet and they fall in love and they say, oh, it's love at first sight. Well, you can do that. You can find love at first sight. But now the work will begin. Okay? Now the work will begin. All right? You may find, you know, you may find that person. But now you have to do that building. Remember that word I had you write down earlier? You have to build, build, build. Okay? You have to build the relationship. You have to build that special feeling. That all has to be built. Okay? You have to build the love for each other. And I think I shared the other day that my mother used to say that love is an action word. You have to take action. You have to be kind and meek and loving to your spouse, to this person that you want to show love to. You want to find your soulmate. Well, a lot of people want to find their soulmate. But how can you do that if you don't love your soul? If you don't love yourself, how can you find your soulmate? Okay? But finding your true love. So, for some people, they're still into the whole fairy tale situation. They think they're going to find someone who's going to whisk them off their feet and take care of them for the rest of their life, and it's all going to be grandiose. No. They may find you. They may whisk you off your feet. They may ride you off in a carriage. They may ride you off in a Rolls Royce. They may ride you off on horses, but after you get off, you have to go to work, period. End of story. Cinderella and Prince, I don't remember his name, Prince Charles, I guess. Cinderella and when they rode off in the sunset, I guess you could call it, they did the work afterwards. The movie didn't show that part, or the play or whatever you went to see. It didn't show that part. A lot of movies stop right at the, we struggled and struggled to find each other. We went through some kind of trauma to find each other. And then we got married. And then the movie goes off. You can only show so much in 2 hours. And they don't show you the rest of the life of what the people had to build and go through and live through. See, that's inferred. They're inferring that you know that. They think you must know that. Surely you must know that when they ride off and they got the beautiful dress and, you know, she goes and changes to the sharp pantsuit. You know, like some people, you know, that's their mindset as it relates to a marriage. Yeah, they understand all the stuff that went into getting him to marry. Oh, you, some ladies, boy, oh boy, oh boy, did they work hard to get that man to marry them. And I'm sure the men did the same. I know for me, I was working overtime, y'all. Mr. Drew, you said you was going to be married in 2 years, and you're going to marry me. So y'all know what I'm talking. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking. Not all of y'all don't know, but some of y'all know how hard we worked to get that man. Oh, we did everything right. We worked and we worked and we worked and we made sure we got the perfect dress and the perfect hall and the perfect menu. You ever seen somebody plan a wedding? You should watch. You should just watch and see how much work. If you're not married, you should just go find someone who's getting married. And even though you're not the maid of honor or the bridesmaids, or you may not be the wedding planner, but you should just go, especially if it's a friend, somebody you know, go spend some, say, can I hang out with you for the next 6 months or the next year? And look at all they put into that person. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. And all the detail. Oh, you should see them fuss over invitations. Oh, my God. You want to see a fight? Get two people together and let them try to decide what kind of invitation. Even the parents. Sometimes the bride, he fights with the parents about who's coming? Who's going to sit at what table? What they're going to eat for dinner? What they're going to eat for dessert? What kind of music? Who will play the music? Will it be Christian wedding? Will it be not Christian? Will it be this? Will it be that? Will it... I'm telling you, the fuss and the muss that goes into the wedding, I can almost guarantee this. Now, you know, this is just my humble opinion. You do not have to agree to anything I say. But if you would ever, if they would just take a quarter of that effort that they put into the wedding and getting the marriage to happen, if they would put that on the backside of the wedding, you would almost, I think divorce rates, I think, my personal humble opinion, based on my own personal research, I bet divorce rates would go down. I'm going to give a percentage. I would say divorce rates would go down by 50%. Right now, divorce rates are at about 50%. I believe that if the effort that it took to get the marriage to happen and then the planning of the wedding, for the most part, and I know there are some people who just went to the justice of the peace, but even that took some planning. Don't get it twisted. Because the justice of the peace ain't there 24 hours a day and they ain't there just waiting on you and you ain't just got the paper. No, it still took some planning. I don't care if it took a cornbread size of planning versus, you know, the whole dinner. It took some planning. And all I'm saying is, if the planning, but see what happens is when people get married, most people, I would say 90%, once they get married, all the work stops. No more planning, no more working hard. Now, because we put all the effort into the event. We put all the effort into the event. And we thought that the event was the be-all and end-all. We thought that getting married was marriage. That's what people think. People think that getting married is the marriage. No, getting married is the beginning of the work that it takes to stay married. It's just the beginning. It's not the end. It feels like the end because you're so tired and you ran around like a chicken with your head cut off. I've been to some of these weddings. Are you kidding? The effort that it takes to pull that off? Even if you have a wedding planner, you have to put in effort to select the right one, the most cost-effective one. But once we get married, the work stops, or it lasts for about a year. Actually, it really doesn't, because this is what people think when they get married. After the preacher says, say I do, and they say I do, and they throw some rice or they throw cornflakes or whatever they throw at you, this is what people think. Oh, let's go on our honeymoon. They watch television again. You saw the show where they went on their honeymoon. She had on a beautiful bad pantsuit or, you know, a beautiful short outfit because it's summertime. And, you know, he got on his dapper thing. And they you see him drive off in the car and go to the airport, or they're getting on, going on the steps to the airplane or whatever. And they think, wow, ooh, that's it. Oh, we're going on a honeymoon. We're going on a honeymoon. And then they honeymoon for about a year or so. They try to make the honeymoon. Some couples try to make the honeymoon last as long as they can. In other words, they know in the back of their mind, this thing is going to wear off. They know this ain't going to last forever, so let me get it all in as I can. And that's why so many people are ending up not having a true love. First of all, they're going into it with the wrong mindset. They find the true love, and they're not able to sustain it. They're not able to keep it going. They never realize that love starts inside of you. So you don't find your true love. Let me just give you the biggest secret that you'll ever hear on this show, at least today. The biggest secret is that the true love, you got to be the true love. You don't find it. You got to be it, and then you'll find it. So for those of you who didn't find it yet and you're wondering why, that's because you're not it yet. As soon as you become the true love, he or she is going to show up. But you got to become it. You got to be the thing that you want to see in the earth. You've heard me say that before. I didn't create that slogan. I got it from somewhere. I read a lot of things, so don't expect me to remember everywhere I got something from, but I don't have no problem giving credit to wherever I got it. I didn't make it up. So it may sound snazzy and sounds great, and he's like, oh, wow, Coach Elisa's the bomb. No, I got that from someone. You got to be the thing that you want to see in the earth. So if you want to see true love, you got to be true love. You got to be true. To who? You first. First, be true, lovely, loving of yourself. That's number one. And for some people, here's the biggest problem why they may never find their true love. Even when they find a person that could possibly be the true love, but this is why they may not be experiencing it. Number one, you might need an attitude adjustment. Sometimes you got to re-examine your own attitude. Sometimes, let's face it, our attitudes are just poor. They're bad. Remember that dysfunction that I talked about earlier. But you got to sit down and look at how we treat others. How do we treat others? You might need to change. You might need to change. Now, some of you, if you're just tuning into the show, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. This is Coach Elisa here talking today about finding your true love. And people want to find the true love. Some may not. Some may love going in and out of relationships on a gamble. I'll gamble on this one. Maybe she's the right one. I'll gamble on her or him. Wasting time, wasting energy. Why, you know, okay, let's just say you say, okay, I'm going to gamble on him or her. So how long will that gamble last? 6 months? A year? 6 years? Well, while you were spending time gambling, your soulmate could have just walked right on by you because they see you hugged up with the gamble. So they're going to keep going. Because if they're truly a wonderful person, they would never try to hit on you and they see you hugged up with someone else. Because truly wonderful people, they don't do that. They don't see you hugged up with someone and try to snatch you away from them. So that's why you want to stay by yourself until you know that that person is the right person. Now, I'm just teaching you what I now know. I didn't know this growing up, or else I wouldn't have been dating at 14 and 16 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21, 23, 27, 20. I would have waited until I was 31 when I met my true love. I would have just waited. I would have been a 31-year-old virgin when I met my husband. You see, but people don't want to wait. We want to try everything out. We want to test it. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's them, them, them. So that's what we're talking about on the show today. And we want people to find the true love. I know it's possible. It's not to be something that I think is possible. I know it's possible. And if you know it's possible too, please, I welcome you to raise your hand, tune into the show, and you can have, if you have a question, if you have a comment. I know some people have to go because you have to go to work. The show is usually an hour. I said it would be a little longer today because we are on the holiday weekend. And for some of you who may be wondering why we extended the show time, well, next week we have a very, 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 very special treat coming for you. Next week on Tuesday, I definitely want you to tune into the show. On Tuesday, we were going to have Dr. Lee Jones, and he is phenomenal. And we're going to have him on next Tuesday. We're also going to do the show that day for an hour and a half. I want him to have a long time as he can have. He is a wonderful, awesome, awesome. Actually, I gave him the title King of Inspiration a couple of years back, maybe about 4 years ago. And he told me that he now uses that. As a matter of fact, his website, that's how his website starts off. King of Inspiration. And he truly is. He truly is. I wasn't saying it to pump him up or to make him feel good. The man is awesomely inspiring, trust me. You're going to see for yourself, so you don't. So mark that on your calendars. Mark that on your calendars. And also, Monday, don't forget if you're in the New Jersey area, Monday evening, we're going to be right here in my home planning for the new year. The new you, new year, a new attitude. And we're going to talk about some things you can do to put in place for next year. So if you're listening to the show via archives or the other feeds, I know some people can listen using their iTunes and iPods, and there's all these other ways to listen to Blog Talk Radio. Definitely call me. You have my cell or the 800 number, 888-714-7776. And also, while I'm making announcements, let me just announce that for those people who do live out of town, or for those people who have to use, or have not live out of town, but for those of you who have a phone where it would cost you to dial in to the 347 number, we now do have an 800 number that you can call in and you won't incur a charge. So it's 877-633-9380. So for those of you, we don't want you to have to pay these huge cell phone bills, because the 347 is a landline. But if you have one of those phones where it's free to call no matter where you call, then you continue to use the 347. But for those of you who don't, you're welcome to use the 800 number, 877-633-9380. We really, really appreciate your support of the Coach Lalisa Show. And so we wanted to add those extra services to you. And we certainly appreciate it. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And we still have a few more minutes left. And I was trying to get my soulmate on the line this morning. But I believe he's just kind of stirring up. I hear a pitter-patter of little feet. But if not, we will definitely get him on for Monday. He may still be in that vacation sort of mode mindset. I guess he says, who gets up and hosts a radio show on New Year's Eve? But you can also, if you have a comment or a question that you would like to make or you would like to ask, please just type it in the chat room. But just so that we have clarity, I want to make sure you're clear on what you are to do in terms of finding your true love. Number one, you're to do what? Love yourself. That's first and foremost. Spend time with yourself. Make sure you know your idiosyncrasies, the things about you. Know what makes you tick. Know what you like. Know what you don't like. Practice unconditional love on yourself. Love yourself. Say lovely things to yourself. Think positive thoughts towards yourself. That's number one. Number two, before you can love anyone else, you have to love yourself. You have to know that you deserve to be loved. And remember that question that I asked you before. Do you believe that you are worthy to be loved? Do you believe it? Do you believe that you are lovable? Do you believe that someone could want to spend their whole life with you and only you? You need to know that you are happy, and can a person be happy with you, knowing, like, when all of your baggage surfaces, because it will. All that dysfunctional stuff will eventually come out, and typically at the least opportune time. Even your children, sometimes when we have children and we bring children to the marriage, now all the parenting skills we learned, we're going to now use them. And you got to remember, though our parents have loved us, but we may have picked up bad habits from them. And you got to know, and so did your spouse. And you got two people together. Oh my goodness. You really got to get yourself together first. That's A number one. That it, It just goes without saying. I'm sorry. There's no easier, nicer way to put it. You have to work on you. Now, take a, for instance, in my marriage, you might say, because you may know me, and you may say, well, Lalisa, you didn't do that. You're right, I didn't. And that's how I ended up at that crossroads after 9 years of marriage. When we did separate, because I had not done that. You're absolutely right. But I got to the crossroad, and I had to do it. I absolutely had to do it in order for us to be back together. And now, together, 11 years added on to that 9, going on 12. I had, now, making it 21 altogether. I had to get to that crossroads where I had to look at myself. I had to say, well, Lisa, you know, what's going on with you? And do you, again, I had to answer those questions. Do I deserve to be loved? And am I lovable? Am I lovable? Can I be happy? Can I be happy? It's not about somebody making me happy. You know, no one's going to make you happy. I'm sorry. If you're waiting for someone to make you happy, if you're waiting for someone else to make you happy, you may be waiting for a long, long, long time. And even if they make you happy today, what if they do something different tomorrow? And now what are you going to say? You're no longer happy? So happiness has to be, that's your job. You have to take charge of your own life, and you have to make yourself happy. Make yourself happy. Make yourself whole. Make yourself complete. You may say, well, if I do all that, why do I need someone else? You may not. But if you plan on having sex, that's a sign. If you want to have sex and you have these urges all the time, that's a good sign that you are supposed to be married. Some people say, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to be married. Okay, well, trust me. If you want to have sex, you're supposed to be married because the Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. So the two go together. And let's just see. I know we only have a few minutes to the show, so we're going to just hear real quick from my soulmate. And so he's just going to say one word. I know he's rushing out.
Good morning. Soulmate. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, soulmate. How does it feel to find your soulmate?
How does it feel? Feels good.
Okay, see, he's running. He's on his way to New York. I tried my best. He's on his way to New York, and he's trying to get the train to get over to New York and do some last-minute Christmas shopping. So, but I will definitely get him back for a longer time on Monday because he won't be running out to go to New York. And as you can imagine, it's probably going to be a madhouse over there. But I definitely want you to hear from him, and especially for the men and for the women. I want you to hear what it feels like from his point of view to get married, think you found your soulmate, end up at the crossroads, and then have to go back in and do it all over again. But this time, would it change perspective? This time, would it change mindset? So I think that that's going to be a really, really good conversation, and I'm actually looking very much forward to this when he can come on and be on the show. And certainly I would look forward to you all having some questions that you might want to ask. Now, here's let's see. We have now this other ability that I want to really just kind of test it out and see how it does work because, you know, we have new things going up, new things going on. As a matter of fact, let's see if we can do this, 2 and 4. And to see how it works. Now we have this great, great ability. Let's see. Okay. So, yes.
Praise the Lord. Leave a message and I will return your call. God bless.
All right.
To leave a voice message, press 1 or just wait for the tone. To send a numeric page, press 2 now.
Okay. Actually, that would have been great. I should have left that person a message. So now we have the great, great, great ability to actually call people up and put them on the phone. So isn't that cute? I think that. that is very, very good. So let's, we're going to try one more thing to see if we can get this person on the air this morning, because they would also be very good to talk about this. And let's see. Yep, we're going to see if we can call them up. And let's see if they answer. That'd be great. I can't wait. This works.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Well, guess what?
Huh?
I said, guess what?
What?
You're on the air with Coach Lalisa.
Awesome.
Say good morning to everyone.
Good morning, everyone. This is the best show. Coach Lalisa is the best.
Well,
God has blessed.
God is great. Our topic this morning is finding your true love. And we only have a few minutes left. Now, are you on your way out of town?
No, I am not.
Okay.
So
do you have a moment you can share with us?
Yes, I do.
So,
finding your true love?
Finding your true love. What do you have to say? And by the way, let me let everyone know who this is. This is Beverly Carter. She's from Handover, Maryland. I mean, from, I always say Handover, but
yes,
we know you're from Maryland. And she is on the phone lines. We dialed her up this morning. And we want to ask her. And we also co-host a show on Sundays together at Six Sisters in the Spirit. But we have a few other callers on. So, yeah, what does that mean to you, finding your true love?
Well, finding your true love, what that means to me is that you must have been searching. And so if you find something that you're searching for, you are truly happy. Now, what is the love? Now, that's the key. We've got to make sure we're finding what we need. So what I have found with my, when I think of the Eros love, the romantic love, I think of my husband and thinking about how we came together and how he found me and I found him and how now 30 years later we have built this beautiful thing that I believe is you know, a model to the world that, yes, you can have a beautiful marriage. And that's one of the things. But, you know, I'm a minister of the gospel, Coastal Lisa. And so the love that I really think about is the love of Christ. If we find the love of Christ, then we're into what we're, where we need to be. We've got it, and we're able to walk in power, victory, and be able to spread love around. That's what I think about.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you actually said some key, one key word that we talked earlier about the building. And I actually had people to write down capital letters, build, B-U-I-L-D, and how you build, you don't find great relationships, you build great relationships.
Mm, absolutely.
And you find people, but you build relationships. Because you could find someone and that person could end up not being in a great, you could not end up not having a great relationship. So, but that's good. So find the love of Christ, find Jesus, and you will be started on the right foot.
Yes,
you will be.
I like that.
You will have the tools necessary to build. But now you got to have the mind to build. I remember you had to have the mind to build, and I talked about how. Just like when people, a lot of people, the building stops once they have the wedding and say, I do, and go on the honeymoon. They put in a lot of work up to that point. And then
right,
the rest,
right. And that's what we tell people, that not, we got to focus on the marriage and not the wedding day. And there, I know there's reality shows that talk about, you know, Bridezilla and all of this focus on the day. But we do
mm-hmm.
have to know what we're getting into and recognize that it is work. When you talk about build, and I'm thinking about our marriage and as we build this thing, you know, some materials look like it, you know, we were going to put that into the building, but we realized that that didn't work. So So we had to take out not talking to each other for weeks or not speaking to each other because you're upset. We had to take that piece out where that doesn't go into the building that's going to last. So there's materials, there's things, there's behaviors that we need to recognize that we'll see. This doesn't fit. This won't make a strong foundation. This won't make a strong structure.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's absolute. That is excellent, excellent advice. You have to sometimes, you got to look at the material, and then sometimes you have to realize this is not going to work. It just won't work. Isn't that something? Well, we thank you so much. We don't want to hold you up. We know it's a busy day for most people, but we just wanted to test out this wonderful new feature that we just got with the show where we can actually dial people up.
Wonderful.
So I'm can't wait. I'm looking forward to using that again.
Yes. Well.
That feature again. And I think that'll really be nice, a nice feature, especially when we have guests on. We can call our guests up. We can call people and just put them on the spot, just like we did you.
Yeah, on the spot. But that's okay, because I know that this is good work and that a lot of people listen to the Coach Lalisa show and get inspired, they get motivated, they get information they can really use, and they are being more successful as a result of it. So that's okay, and I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. Now you go and be with your true love, Mr.
Yes.
Richard Carter. God bless the both of you, and you've been married now, 26 years? Or?
It's 26, going on 27, been together for 30 years. So we think that's a great milestone, and God has done it. It's getting better and better every day. How about that?
It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And we've given out a couple of topics of some books. I gave out His Needs, Her Needs. I think that's a great book by Willard Harley. And then I was looking for the book by the Dobsons. And I know they are the psychologists, the Dobson psychologists who wrote a book about finding your soulmate. So we want people to definitely get copies of those. So we thank you very much, and you have a merry, merry, merry Christmas as well.
Oh, thank you.
And
Love and
Respect. Day.
That's the other book that I wanted to throw out there that we've been
okay.
blessed by. Love
what
and
is
Respect.
It?
Love and Respect.
Love.
And, that's a great teaching on how she needs love and he needs respect. And so I can't think of the author now, but it's a good one as well.
Okay. Love and Respect. Okay, there you have it. Love and Respect. She needs love and he needs respect. Well, so we're going to, like I said, Monday will be a day that we will also carry over this topic. And we will talk more about it on Monday, because we do want to share these other books with you. We want to help people, again, because of the season that we're in, as these are the holiday times. A lot of times people are meeting people during this time. And you want to make sure that if you're going to go down any kind of road with this person, and this person is your soulmate, is your true love, you want to make sure that it really is, and that you're not, going to be sorry after the excitement of being with someone for the holidays. Because a lot of times, we're on supercharge during this time of year, and we're going places, we're meeting people, and, we see everybody hugged up and in love, and they look so happy. And we think, wow, I could do that too. And then you meet someone, and then what happens afterwards? And so we want to make sure you're well-equipped, that you have some tools to work with, so that you can take it for what it is. If it's meant to be, we've given you some signs that it could be, but we've also given you mostly what you need to be doing, and that's working on you. That's number one, loving yourself before you can go and love anyone else. Not going to happen. So we thank you for tuning in today. We thank you. If you have any questions or comments, we still have a Merry Christmas to you, too. Oh, thank you. If you have any questions or comments in these last few minutes, you can definitely raise your hand. I think we have a hand raised, so let's take a couple of hands raised. So we're going to take those callers. Caller number, and if you have to go, Ms. Beverly, we understand you can go, but if you can stay a few more minutes. But yes, area code. Okay, thank you. 577, area code 973. Welcome to the show today. Yes, area code 973. You're on the air. Okay, maybe they're not. Okay, let's see if this other caller. Caller 908, you're on the air. I believe this is Miss Patricia.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Minister Lisa.
Good morning. How are you?
I am enjoying this beautiful weather in Atlanta, Georgia.
I figured it would be beautiful down there.
Yes, it's nice. It's nice. It's not too cold. The first night was really cold, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad. When you did the call with Minister Bev, it reminded me of the radio show. I forgot it was W. One of the radio shows used to, you know, the prank calls where they would call people up in the morning and they didn't know that they were on the air. And they would do the little prank.
When you did that
reminded me back when they used to do that little show, play the little prank calls, and someone would get on and say something, and they would, like, talk, and they'd be like, oh, well, did you know that you were on the, and they would just start laughing. I was like, that's what that brought me back to. I love your topic, Coach Lisa, because someone had posted on my Facebook page about in a relationship but complicated. And I put back, well, it's not the relationship that's complicated, it's the person that's in the relationship. That, you know, it's not the relationship, it's the person that's in the relationship itself. And I go back to, you know, I think when you said Monday, I think it was, you know, finding ourselves. We can't wait, and I'm speaking to myself on this too, because I've learned that from my own mistake, is that you can't wait till you get in a relationship to find yourself and to want to know, you know, you need to do that to those that are looking or seeking or whatever. Find yourself and know who you are, as you have been saying, before you get into that relationship. You know, don't wait until you get into the relationship to decide, oh, I don't want to be in this relationship because I'm trying to find me. I need to know who I am, and I'm not just ready for this. And, you know, search all that stuff out before you get into the relationship. And as Minister Beverly said, the first thing we need to do is make sure that we have the love, that we know Christ, and that, you know, that he's in there. And once we do all of that, you know, I think, you know, as you've been saying, all the things you're saying, the relationship would be fine within itself if we just know ourselves and make sure that we know who we are and that who God and that God is in it. You know, it would be great.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely totally agree. And like I had stated earlier, this show would definitely probably go over. So we're going to make, we went an hour and a half already. We're going to definitely do part two next week. And I see that, yes, Kiva was able to get in before. Wonderful, Kiva. I see that you're in. Now, let me just see if this caller, 973, you're on the air with Coach Lalisa. Yes, Erica. Okay, so maybe, wait a minute, let me see. I don't think I opened there. 973, can you hear us?
Hi, I can hear you.
Okay, I didn't know if you had your hand up, if that was on purpose or yes or
it
no.
Was on purpose.
Okay, good, good, good. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. How are you?
We are great. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm just listening to the show. I'm usually too busy to stop from working to speak with you. So I just took my little break. I said, okay, I'm going to take my break and call in. This topic is a hot, hot, hot topic for me. And I definitely hope that we're going to have some more of these conversations here. This is an awesome show today.
Okay, well, we definitely, well, I'm glad that you are getting something out of it. We certainly will. Monday, we are going to do part two of this because we still got to talk about some of the signs that this person is your soulmate.
Exactly.
So we did talk about, and we've also got to talk about some solutions if you are already married and you end up like I did at that crossroad where you're wondering, is this marriage for me? Again, like I said, some of the things that we can share here today, I believe, could really dramatically reduce the divorce rate.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. You have some great insight. And I am sure that's from years of experience being unmarried and then married, as well as myself. I don't know if you know who you're talking to, but this is Kelly.
Excuse me. Hello. Yeah, right.
One of your children, you adopted. I was so excited to hear the subject of relationships because I'll be married 10 years in May. And a couple of things that you talked about, one of the things was those soul ties. And I had found out after I got married, a lot of things that I had not dealt with before I got married to my husband as far as my past. I was very promiscuous. I didn't care. I had this very masculine attitude about my sexuality. So I would say, you know, I'm doing me and, you know, I don't care. I'm just going to get, you know, I'm going to get me some, you know, that was the kind of attitude. And I see that, you know, you were talking about the young people and how they act and that exactly was me. So that's why I have such a heart for young people because I've been there, I've done that. And it's very important, not only that, you know, we as Christians are on this call, but that this call is open up to young people that somehow we need to get these, you know, once you record this, that we make it available and we tell them, look, you need to listen to this call. This is some real life stuff that we're talking about, and these are some really, really in-depth things that you definitely need to hear and understand before you go out in the world and think you know everything. One of the things that I tell the young people, something that I learned, is that you don't know what you don't know. And so if you're out there and you're saying you're a virgin now and you haven't had sex, you don't know, you don't have to worry about it. But if once you go out there and you do it, it's like, okay, now I did it. Now you have this craving for it. But if you don't know, you don't know about it. So why even start? Why even get stuck in, you know, why even get stuck in a situation where you're going to crave it? Because, you know, we're all human. We all have these physical desires that we want. We want to, you know, we desire physical touch and all of those things. And so that's something that's so intimate and that's so precious that once it's done, you're going to crave it again, whether it was good or bad. I mean, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've all had situations where if you're promiscuous that the sex was not good. You know, but it's because you wanted it. You didn't care. You got what you wanted. So you actually fulfilled that craving, that physical desire. And so it's a consistent thing. And that's the spirit. We have to also remember and make sure we're letting them know that that's the spirit of lust. As soon as you get it, it attaches itself to you. And so, I mean, it's just such an, I mean, this call can go on for days. I mean, and so what is, It's just amazing that everything that's in this all combined into one with the one subject when it comes to relationships. I mean, you can just go on and on. One of the things I didn't realize when I got married was because I had such, like I said, a masculine attitude, was that when my husband would touch me when I was sleeping, I would jump, and he didn't understand why. And it was through a lot of self-evaluation. That's what I tell people. You have to evaluate yourself and why are you doing things and question yourself, and that'll bring things back to your remembrance. So it brought back to my remembrance that I was raped. And it was a time where I thought that, you know, I was safe, I was fine. And next thing you know, I'm getting all these flashes in my mind like, oh, well, that's because this person was touching me and they shouldn't have been touching me. Oh, so that's why. So now my husband is putting his hands on me while I'm sleeping and I'm trying to protect myself. And then, like you were talking about earlier, you were talking about how you had sex, when you have sex that, you know, you get these flashes, you get this idea of it's not as good and he didn't last as long. You were saying that earlier, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. When you get married, those things don't stop. So if you don't have a mindset, the word of God says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you have a mindset that this is a divine connection, that God gave this man to me, this is my husband, and the way that he touches me is the touch that God wants me to have. Nothing
yes.
in the past, nothing that I need to relive or go back to, but what God gave me, that covenant that was made between us two. So, I mean, it's just so much. So I'm just excited about the next call.
Well, we're going to definitely, Monday, we're out of time now, but we're going to definitely come back Monday. We're going to continue this discussion about those imaginations, about those past things that may have happened to us that we have now taken into the marriage that can
mm-hmm.
stress the marriage out,
mm-hmm.
that can strain the marriage, that can actually make us be married and not feel as though we have our true love.
Mm.
So we hope. You'll be able to tune in on Monday as well. And then we have on Tuesday, we have Mr. Dr. Lee Jones. You don't want to miss that show. But I will be posting reminders through Facebook and sending out texts about that. He is phenomenal. And that's one of the reasons we extended the phone lines. We extended the time even. And then that ability to call people up even. So we're just thankful about being able to do all of that. Just for a very, very, very small amount of money. So it was almost one of those things too good to pass up, and we wanted to give that service to our faithful audience. So thank you, Kelly, and that's all we have time for, and we'll see you back here hopefully on Monday, and hopefully I'll talk to you over the next few hours or so.
Oh, definitely. Have a blessed day. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and to everyone. Merry, merry, merry Christmas, and have a great weekend. Goodbye.